On Say What Needs Saying, we take controversial, sensitive subjects and discuss them openly and freely. Politics, religion, money, culture, and more. We bring on a variety of guests, but most importantly, we bring on you, our listeners, to Say What Needs Saying with us. Check us out on your favorite podcast platform, YouTube, or at our website, saywhatneedssaying.com. Come join the conversation on Say What Needs Saying, the most controversially civil conversation podcast.
Hi guys, welcome to Threads Podcast, Life Unfiltered. Thank you so much for joining us tonight or tomorrow or whenever you're listening to this. This is episode 137.
Our take on current events.
So yeah, we're going to kind of talk about some uncomfortable things, some whatever things, who knows. We're not really going to, it's not really a format tonight, so just kind of changing things up a little bit. But before we do that, Ben's going to talk about Threads, what Threads is all about, what we're doing, and then tonight's direction and intro to our guest.
Threads Podcast, Life Unfiltered, is all about conversations regarding things that matter. We want to create a space where it's okay to talk about faith, our mental health, and as we do that, we often talk about uncomfortable stuff as well. Tonight, we're trying something a little bit different. We have three of us here tonight. We'll let you know who the third person is in just a minute, but we each have picked a current event or a happening or something that is of interest to us that we just want to talk about. And we'll see where the conversation goes. It's the first time we've done an approach like this, but I'm excited about it. So Jason, who do we have here with us?
Well, we have Mike Van Dree from the Debunked Skeptical Pastor Podcast, possibly.
Yep. Or yep.
Are you done with it?
I don't know. I am still on the border of not whether or not I am going to continue. I got to episode 10 and I took a break. Not sure I'm going to continue back up, but I have something else in other works that I won't tell you guys yet.
Yeah.
You've let us on already.
I have to blue ball you some more.
No, yeah. Yeah. Well, why the pause of the podcast? Just life got in the way and then you didn't want to go back, or did you lose interest?
Yes to both. And I'm questioning a lot of things, and I think that's good, but it also makes it so that it's really hard to say, but life got in the way. June was a terribly busy month,
right?
And I thought I was gonna take June off, and I got to July. I was like, I'm not sure it's coming back. So I'm not sure if it's coming back. We will see. Okay. what August
to
brings
be
to
determined.
Us TBD.
Yeah, so for those of you know, Mike's been on the show. Some things have changed in our dynamic a little bit. I don't know if we ever talked about it, but Mike and I are doing a Tough Mudder together. We started working out. Ben's working out. He's not joining us any of those adventures at this point, but maybe next year. Yep. So then also Mike and I are going to actually try to tackle a half marathon too in October.
Crazy.
So we have not signed up for it yet, just in case we both get break our legs like Conor McGregor at Tough Mudder. So at least we can save $150.
Yep.
But I plan on signing up after Tough Mudder. So. But yeah, that's been it's been fun. Ben and I went biking on Saturday, and I almost said the F word. 16 miles.
16 yeah. miles. Yeah.
My sit bones are, that's what they call them, right? The sit bones, right? Right.
Sure, yeah.
I think that's what they call it, are a little tender.
But don't let Jason fool you. He said that 16 miles as if it was like some arduous task. I was panting and just dying trying to keep up with you.
Well, we weigh different weights.
True.
If you put an 80-pound backpack on my back, I would be in the same boat you were. So
you did good.
And maybe the next time you go, you should strap a backpack to him with some weights.
Right? Well, I initially went out. I told him, I'm like, you need to take it easy on me. Like, I haven't ridden a bike in, I've ridden like my kid's bike or whatever, right, but I haven't owned a bike in probably 20 years, 25 wow. years. And so I was like, I did like one little loop around the playground. The neighborhood, just to kind of get a feeling on it. And I was like, take it easy on me. But then I settled in and I'm like, oh, this is fun. So, but
yeah. Anyways.
So how are you guys showing up tonight? This is something we like to do, just to kind of get the room tone. How's everyone feeling coming in tonight? Mike?
I am in kind of a shitty mood, but let me explain why. So I end up waking up really good, felt good after running 3.1 miles yesterday, farthest I've ran in 5 years.
How much did I run?
Probably 20, because you're so much
better.
No, I
ran 3.2 just to make
sure. Did
you
really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't see that.
I posted it, didn't I?
No.
Oh.
Just to beat him by that
just
point one.
Just by the point one. But anyway, so this first time I've done it in 5 years, and I woke up good, wasn't sore, ended up going to church, talked about the trip we took with the high schoolers went great. And then I got a migraine.
Ooh.
And then I tried some natural ways to take care of it because I don't like medicine. And then like a Theragun, had Natalie do that. Still didn't help. So finally took medicine. So I'm finally like just coming off of that.
Mm.
Kind of in that like afterglow of like a migraine. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he gets them pretty. I get them occasionally. I take Excedrin right away. Like the second I am, because I've had terrible migraines, the second I have a tinge of pain in my head, two Excedrin migraine go right in my mouth. Yeah. I have it in my lunch pail.
Like, Probably should have. But also, like, that medicine messes with my stomach, and I try not to take it.
Yeah.
But
well, anyways. I'm glad you pulled out of it, because you would not have been able to make it tonight.
I would not have come here. Like, it was so bad, it was in my eye. You know, like, when you get...
Those are the worst.
So, I was not sure I was going to make it.
Do you think maybe you were dehydrated from all the work yesterday?
Could have been. And then I had some food that can sometimes make my stomach a little upset. So I don't know. Not sure what it is, but I'm here ready to go now. But at first I was like, I'm not sure I'm making it.
Well, yeah.
Good old migraines.
What about you, Ben?
I'm showing up pretty good. I was telling the guys earlier today, I spent the afternoon in the kitchen. That's rare for me to commit a whole block of time, but it happened. So I have these recipes that I found, and I decided that I was going to make them again because everybody loved them and they were a hit. So I made three different things and put them in the fridge so we can have them to eat for lunch and whatnot during the week. Yeah, I mean, didn't quite expect to spend so much time in the kitchen, but I got all kinds of steps in and was moving to and fro. So,
and you had a strain today? From the kitchen work? Yeah,
apparently.
I haven't looked at Whoop all day. So.
So if you look at the heart rate, you can see from like 2:30 until 5:30-ish. It's minor, but it is a little elevated because I'm walking around and doing stuff.
Well, that's good. They say for managing your weight and your healthy eating, prepping at the beginning of the week is a big deal.
I'm trying really hard.
Because how easy is it just to go grab a snack from the gas station?
So easy.
Or whatever. But if you have everything right there, you just open it up.
Exactly. And everything that I made is relatively healthy. And
except the chocolate.
Well.
Did you use dark chocolate?
No, I didn't.
You're
but also, like, if you want something chocolate, I bet it's better than a candy bar from the gas station. So
definitely.
100%.
Definitely have to have chocolate in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're like a healthy version of Reese's almost.
Okay.
But there's granola in them. So anyway, that was today. Yesterday, had a good day. Bike ride was awesome. Got lunch afterwards.
Was it awesome?
It was awesome in that you pushed me. And in the moment, no, it was not awesome.
Well, he kept me in front. So then I'm like, okay, I'll be the rabbit.
Let's push.
I'll be the rabbit. And only one time I looked back, he was pretty far, and I don't know what happened. I was like,
I was gulping sips of water.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm dying here.
Yeah. I did enjoy it, though. It was, I got a new seat. I got it today.
It's already here?
Dude, I don't understand with this fast shipping. Amazon said it would be here on Tuesday. All of a sudden, I get a notification today. Your seat is out for delivery. I'm like, I ordered it yesterday.
I'm jealous. Ugh. You don't get that by us.
But no, the bike was good. Yeah, we should all go. You got a bike?
We should.
Yes, but mine
is the rabbit.
Mine is the big old cruiser with like the bent handlebars so I can sit
my
up.
My daughter has one of those.
Yeah, nice. I know your daughter. But like, I hate bending over with biking. Just, I don't know, for some reason, it just makes me mad. So I got like the big old bent handlebars, like a beach cruiser.
Okay.
Well, Jason has the handlebar extender if you ever want to use
no,
it.
No, I didn't. I got rid of it.
Oh,
I gave
gone.
It back to them.
You gave it to them.
Well, how much did you pay for it?
I don't
know. It's
even
a piece
know.
Of pipe. It can't be more than
$3,000
like
he paid
$3
for.
$3 bucks. But
no, that's what you do when you're done with a part, you just leave it at the shop.
Right.
It happens.
So anyways, sorry to cut in. You had your bike day. You were talking about yesterday, so
yeah.
I didn't know where you were finishing.
And then things got a little heated, and I don't know if that's coming up later in the show.
It's not, but we can talk about it.
I mean, why not?
You guys got in a fight, and I'm sitting there in the middle again going,
whatever. The day before, he wanted to stab you in the throat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was pissing him
this
off.
This is true.
Yeah.
You were just Mr. Snark back and forth.
Oh, we even talked. He's like, I'm going to want to kick Mike's ass. I was like, yeah, I don't know. He was in a mood yesterday. So anyways, go ahead with your story.
The story goes...
Well, premise what we're doing first.
Okay. So all three of us have this gadget on our wrist called a Whoop.
Whoop.
Now, two of us have it on our wrist. Jason is Jason and has it on his
No, bicep. There's a reason.
Jason works on equipment that vibrates. So if it vibrates somehow, I don't even understand how. It's super frustrating. For me, I would have it on my steering wheel. If my Whoop wasn't just so on my wrist, and if I put my hand on the steering wheel, I would get super high levels of strain. Doesn't make much sense, but whatever. Jason has it on his bicep because he's on the machine that vibrates.
And it did make a difference. As soon as I switched to bicep, because I was getting like 12 or 13, so for your listeners, 21 is the max.
Yeah.
And I was getting 12 or 13s at work, and Mike's like, oh my gosh, I'm so jealous. I'm like, I'm not working that hard. Like, I'm riding around on a machine. I mean, yeah, I have to like load a 50-pound bag, but it's not like it's like I'm lifting it up and down like 10 times before I dump it.
It's not like you're walking and pushing this machine. No, you're riding it.
The second I switched it to the bicep, it all disappeared.
Yeah.
Which was good.
The story goes with all of that. Yesterday, the three of us all worked out. We're getting high strain numbers. Jason goes for a run, makes a video of it from the app, sends it to us. Something about
two a day.
What are you boys doing? Get out. So I was like, okay, I will. And earlier in the day, I had mowed the lawn and I left it on, which kind of triggered Jason a little bit. Maybe not even a little bit. I'm still not sure exactly what about that was so controversial, but I felt like Jason was telling me that there was this unwritten rule. You're not allowed to mow the lawn and wear your Whoop. And so anyway, I went out for a 4-mile walk at night. And my perception of Jason was that he was worked up because maybe I was going to beat him in our competition. I don't know. So I went for my walk and things settled down. And I did message Mike. I was like, did I do or say something to make Jason upset? Like, am I missing something here? What's going on? Went for my walk. Jason was actually very level-headed and kind the rest of the night. And I sent him an I love you gif at the end of the day. So I think that made it all okay. But that's my take of what happened.
Yeah. So, Ben, you have this weird thing of, because you've done this before. On the day, like, you're trying to, like, win that day, right? Like, that last time that happened, you seceded. Now, this is all dudes doing competition, so everyone's probably listening and going, you guys are a bunch of effing idiots.
Yeah.
But you were like, oh, it's fine, I'm not going to do it, and I worked really hard. Now, mind you, I have to work out twice to get the numbers that you guys do. That's how it is, because I'm lighter.
We're twice as out of shape, and you're a Greek god.
No, I am not. I am not.
The Greek god of poop.
I am not. So I guess every time those days happen, I actually probably provoked it by sending the video.
I did. I wouldn't have gone out for a walk if you didn't send the two-a-day video.
Right. And so I was just trying to motivate you guys to work. And then I got fussy that you used the lawn mowing as part of your work because, you know, early on I said, I'm not going to wear it during lawn because I want it to reflect actual work. And it probably was work for you. It probably was. But I mean, I wanted to reflect like working out, like and maybe that was just me. I don't know. I just thought, and I didn't say it was a rule, but I was just fussy about it because it's like, damn it, I got to go work out twice to get these numbers, and you go out and mow the lawn and get an extra like 5% strain or whatever 5.0 strain, and I just think it was fair.
You know what the best part is? You guys were fighting, and neither one of you made it to my score before I went out on a walk with my dog. Neither of you made it to 17.6. So you guys are fighting, both messaging me. And I'm like, guys, you guys just need to calm down.
Well, here's the thing. No, I did not message you. You messaged me first. You said WTF. I was like,
well, because you were like pushing his buttons. And you guys were like, it's like WTF is going on.
Long story short, I'm competitive. And it feels like this is the second time you've. And again, let me back up. It's the second time you've been like, oh, I'm going to make sure I'm not in third place. And I guess if you get out and work out, I guess it's a win. And I guess I will say I did provoke you with the video.
You sure did.
And
I was watching it with Andy and she's like, really? Are you really going to go out now because Jason told you to?
Well, I'm glad, like, you took Mike's advice and didn't go to the gym.
Oh, man. You'd be dead today.
I would.
You would be out for like 4 days.
So that being said, I did get fussy. But then Ben actually brought up towards the end, which I appreciate. I had some clarity and I was like, you know what? This is stupid. And I sent a nice message and it was true. I'm like, you worked hard today. Like, it's all good. And, you know, I was done with it. So I was proud of myself for like, I know I said I was going to leave it alone and then I came back to it, but I just wanted to, I don't know, I just wanted to be just level headed towards the end. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a win for me because it bothered me in the moment, but and I don't know why it did. I don't know. And it clearly it bothers you because you're going out and doing stuff. You know what I mean?
You got under my skin successfully. Like, you should see that as a win because it's hard to motivate me to do something.
Well, and that should be our goal regardless, right?
And this, you did it.
In this working out, it should be like, if I get you to go out and go run more,
yeah,
that's a win.
For sure.
It's a loss for me.
I mean, I chased you on my bike and then I chased you by getting a second workout in.
And the only reason I did the second, because I didn't feel like I got a workout. I mean, I'm not going to lie.
You had a leisurely stroll.
If I would have had a high strain, that would have been it. I would not have ran last night.
Yeah.
Because I went with the intent of working out. Like, I'm not running today. This is going to be my workout.
Right.
Because I didn't know how hard it would be. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
Drama.
Yeah.
Clearly, we have three very competitive people in this room.
Yeah.
And well,
Ben's a ninja competitive person.
Oh, for sure.
He's like, he doesn't work out for like a couple days and then he goes out and blows out an 18 strain. I'm like, how are you walking after that?
Jason, how are you doing?
Oh, yeah.
The short version. Coming in good. I'm glad we wrapped up whatever that was yesterday. I'm actually. I know it seems weird to say that was a win for me to wrap it up that way with Ben, but it was. It's hard for me to do that and let that stuff go. Good day. Avery went to camp, so another week without a child. Excited for that. A little nervous for her. Never been to overnight camp.
Oh.
No, went with no friends. Like,
wow.
Walking in completely blind.
Well, hey, at least she's in the state.
Why? Where's your kid?
Miracle went to Missouri when she had hers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a hike, but. So yeah, coming in good, excited for tonight's show. Let's get dirty.
Awesome. As we get started with the main portion of our show tonight, the three of us have each picked one article. It could be a current event. It could be something that happened to us. We've come to the table with something and we're going to try really hard not to get in the minutiae of that something, but more talk about why is this important to us? Or what's the overall theme that we're sensing? How does this tie in with the buckets of our podcast? And having kind of an engaging conversation about each topic. Now, we don't need to get stuck in the details of every story, but we do want to at least summarize the who, what, when, where, and why, or whatever those questions are.
Yeah, why we're sharing it.
Yeah.
Those kind of things.
Just the kind of the basics. And then we've got some prompts to help us in our discussion. And the goal here is, again, we're not newscasters telling about a story. We're talking about why it matters to us. And one theme that has been very prevalent in my life is the word burnout. Or I guess if, I don't know if that's two words or one word, but anyway, in my life, burnout has shown itself in a couple of very distinct ways. Being the go-getter in college, Mike can probably attest to this. Everybody knew who Ben Crocker was at Cornerstone.
Which is so strange because I feel like you were kind of, you admit it, the fly on the wall in high school.
Oh, absolutely. So I went from fly on the wall, nobody knew me, to everybody knows Ben, and I'm going to make sure everybody knows Ben in college. Very weird. I got involved with everything. Like, they put up a sculpture of three crosses. And they asked me to be on the committee for planning the chapel service for it. I did that. When they were hiring a new youth ministry professor, they asked me to go out to lunch and be part of the interview process. I did that. I worked in the multimedia department for chapel. I worked in the spiritual formation. I could go on and on. Like, I did everything that was offered to me. And I even went out of my way to find things. And I worked so hard that I just burned myself out to exhaustion. And that was rough. And then I can look at when I was a youth pastor, similar things. I would just overcommit, overcommit, overcommit. burnout. Well, there's a different type of burnout that I experienced more recently, and I think it's very much due to the pandemic and just life as it was for that crazy period of time. And Lifehacker has an article that talks about the different types of burnout, and I thought this was really good and timely. I'll kind of touch base on the three types and talk about a little bit more of how it relates to me, and then we'll open it up to conversation amongst us. The three types of burnout, I mentioned one of them, exhaustion, just that working so hard that you have nothing left, and then you are just done, and you can't go on. The other burnout cause or result is cynicism. Sometimes you get so burned out on people, you just become a total cynic.
Is that like snarky?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that would be a good one.
I've heard that word before, but I didn't know like what the layman term over here
right.
the definition was.
Boomer term.
Yeah, a boomer. Nice. So when you're cynical, like everything, you just look at everything with
different colored snark eyes.
And you look at it and it's just hopeless. And so you're not necessarily exhausted, but you're jaded. Like you look at everything and there's just, it's just stupid.
Just pissy about it.
Yeah. In general. You're upset about everything. I think I fall into that one quite a bit when I'm feeling burned out. The last one that they talk about is burnout due to a reduced sense of efficacy. That's a big word.
Yeah. Come on.
I don't even know what that word
is like.
Right?
This is like sixth grade education.
So,
I mean, this podcast is me sixth grade, not the word you're saying.
So self-efficacy is like, it's almost like self-esteem, I guess. Seeing yourself as being capable to do what's before you. And sometimes when you're burned out, and this is sometimes true of me, but not always, you can kind of feel like you just don't have what it takes anymore. And so you're more likely to give up.
Yes.
More likely to just walk away. Doesn't matter. I can't do anything about it. I'm not blank enough. And so when I read this article, I thought it was very timely because as we're coming out of the pandemic, I think a lot of us are feeling exhausted. There's probably some who are feeling cynical. And there's also some who are probably feeling that sense of, why even bother? I can't do anything about this. So the reason I bring it up is I've been there. And burnout is hard. But I think that there's hope. And before I go into any more about it, I'd love to hear what you guys have to say about.
Well, you said you burnout. Were coming into something recently of burnout. So I thought you were going to reveal like something specific, but just in general, you're saying because of the pandemic or.
Well, let's look at the physical health aspect. During the pandemic, I honestly was on a really good kick. I had lost 25 pounds. This is back at the end of 2019. And.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Even with breaking my back, I was still on a good trend.
Oh, yeah, that's right. When you did break your back, that started the stop.
Yeah.
The slow of it. I remember it.
Yeah.
That's right.
So there was a trend in 2019 of me losing weight, basically all the things that I've been working hard at now. Then the pandemic happened, and I just didn't care. And a lot of that weight, I put right back on. I think probably all of that weight. And I was then the heaviest that I ever was. And it was definitely a sense of, why even bother? Like, I can't lose this weight. So coming out of burnout for me is really what this whole year has been. And that's been focusing on my physical health and realizing that I can do things to make changes. So that's just one example. And with that pandemic for me as well, the thought pattern of work, like I had a really shitty work situation and it was hard to not be cynical about that or exhausted. And then working at ADT for that little 4-month period of time, like constantly feeling exhausted, not being paid until I made a sale, working weekends, evenings, whatever it took. I would say there was just a very much a burnout time. And if I didn't make the choices that I did, early this year, I would be in a very burned out, exhausted, frustrated
right,
spot.
But I think you've kind of turned the corner.
I have. Personally,
I think you have. That's my opinion from the things that you've described.
Yes. And that, you know, that's one of the reasons I wanted to bring it up. Like, I've done this hard work of going to therapy every week, and I've done this work of going to the gym and finding two guys to hold me accountable and sometimes kick my ass a little bit. So you guys have really helped me avoid burnout. But in the past, that was not how it was for me. Like, yeah. I would get burned out more than I'd like to admit.
Before I want you to go, but I think part of it, and you and I have talked about it like a long time ago. Think about our friendship. Okay. Like, before me, and this probably goes for me too, did you have somebody that you were like close enough to that would kind of call you to the table? I mean,
yeah.
Did you?
I did, but it was a.
It was that that one guy we talked about that kind of the marriage thing, or they broke up, or he's not friends with you because he doesn't. That was like three episodes ago. I'm terrible at remembering stuff. You married somebody, or you're at their wedding, or you were.
Yes, I was his best man.
Yeah, is it that guy?
I think so. Yeah.
You think so? You would. I'm talking about the friend that you did have you're referencing.
That I was in his wedding, or that I did the wedding for.
Okay, I don't know who's on first. I will shut up.
I think I do know who you're talking about. Yes, that friend. I had him be my best man, mm-hmm. and then I just assumed that I would be his because that's how I thought things were.
Typically, that works. I mean, it's kind of like
So. Yeah, I think that was the beginning of the end, was his wedding, because...
But was that the friend you were referencing that you had a friend before me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. We got there. Home run. Yes. We're at the home plate.
Okay. So that friend, yeah, he was for a very significant chunk of my high school and early college years. That was him.
Excellent.
And just totally, I don't know, he gave up and walked away and essentially ghosted me.
Well, that doesn't prove my point. So we don't need to digress in that. I guess my point was, I feel like, you know, you're doing better now. I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm really not. No one can see me. I'm not patting that. I just think having an accountability partner and somebody that's, I pretty much don't sugarcoat shit. So
pretty much. And sometimes you can just leave those two words out.
Right. And sometimes backfires. Yep. And sometimes it's really good, and in the moment it might not feel good, and so that being said, I'm hoping that, you know, me and you and now us three have a community that maybe that can keep you out of that burnout. That was a long way to get to that one freaking sentence.
You should have just said the sentence.
Yeah, thank you.
I love it.
A podcast I listen to, he's using this phrase now, and it's not his. He's like, give me the baby, skip the labor.
Yeah.
That was a lot of labor to get to the baby.
Nice. Was the point. Well, and Ben, I kind of get it. Like, whichever that third one was with that grown up word,
self-efficacy.
Efficacy. I can't even say that word.
It sounds like a swear word.
It does. Like, because ministry and COVID, no one had ever told us how to do it. Like, Cornerstone failed me with that. Granted, they're not supposed to know how to do that, but like, we were all trying to figure out. No pastor knew what to do. Even the ones who were experts were just making shit up.
Yeah.
And so I can see that, because again, it was, you know, day after day, I'm not sure how to do this, what I'm supposed to do. And that can lead towards that, like, I don't know if I can continue on.
Well, it changed like every day for a while there.
Oh, yeah.
You get an order from the state, and then the next day you come to your staff meeting, you're like, oh, by the way, what we said yesterday, completely reverse it.
I think on Thursday, before we shut everything down, we were like, hey, we're still going to have it. Everything's good. And then that Friday, we canceled everything. So we had to be like 2-hour staff meeting and then another 2-hour staff meeting, because we were like, hey, it looks good. And then one day later, it was like, we're going to shut this whole thing down.
Crazy.
It was crazy.
Yeah. Hmm.
So as far as burnout for you, what do you, can you reiterate with Ben on a personal level?
Yeah. I think working out has definitely helped the burnout go away.
Yeah.
Because I think it gives me something that I am able to control.
Ooh, yeah.
Right.
You'd like to control.
Yeah. Well, in COVID, you can't control anything, mm-mm. especially mm-hmm. when the job's changing, family's changing, everything's changing. Then working out, having accountability and just getting it done, you can control it. And that's, you know, moments where you can just work out the crap that's going on. So,
yeah. I look at burnout as like doing hobbies. That's what I get burned out in. You know, I had bees for a while for like 4 or 5 years.
Which was so weird to hear on the podcast because you never talk about it anymore.
Never.
And like, I had no idea. I was like, what the world?
Like, I'm passionate about it. Like, if someone starts talking to me about honeybees, I can rattle some stuff, some cool facts off. Nice. Just to make me look good. You know what I mean? Whatever. But I don't really experience burnout with like my job or anything like that. I don't know. I just didn't feel a lot during COVID. Huh. I mean, I know we're kind of talking about burnout around COVID, but I didn't really feel any of that. So I guess that's good. I mean,
you don't ever feel burned out on your job? Like,
I don't know. Hmm. Not really. I don't know.
Well, it probably helps that it's like more seasonal. Right?
Yeah, that does.
That's true.
I mean, I guess when I get towards the end of season, I'm chomping at the bit to get out.
Like, finally. Come on.
End. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, after, you know, spreading fertilizer on like 10 million square feet, you know, for the season, you're kind of done with it. But as far as referencing to COVID, I didn't. I bet I was more snarky and more asshole-y in general
for through sure.
it. But I don't feel it. Look at it as like burnout. So that's kind of where I'm at on that.
Yeah.
But
why does it seem to be those under 45 are those who burn out?
Like, ooh, that's a good question.
And I'm calling myself out at age 37. I think I actually told people the other day I was 38. I was like, crap it.
Well,
me and Matt together.
For the last 4 months, I've told people I'm 46 and I did the math and I'm not.
Yeah. But so that's a question. How come it seems to be those of us under 45 who will burn out and take the self-care?
Because I think the older generation doesn't talk about it.
Okay.
And doesn't do it. Like my mother-in-law, she's not going to listen to this. She won't go to therapy. She won't do all those things. And I love her. And I guess if she did listen to this, she's broken. She had a shitty life. She had a shitty childhood. Terrible. I don't know if there was abuse, but there was a lot of neglect and involved in that. Hmm. But she needs help. And she didn't, you know, my father-in-law met her and took care of her and married her. And then my father-in-law died and she doesn't know how to do life without her husband and stuff like that. So I think that generation, like she'll do everything else to do things, but won't go to therapy, which frustrates me. So my point saying the younger people, I think we're starting to realize that it's okay. And I consider myself young, you looking at me, that I think that's what it is. I mean, do you agree? I think a lot of people would say that they're a bunch of wimps.
Yeah.
And which I hate.
I know. But that's kind of what runs through my head sometimes with burnout is like, why is it happening to those of us under 45? Or are we the only ones just open and honest about it?
Exactly.
That's really what it is, I think.
I mean, I think it's a thing. Everyone has it.
Yeah.
There's no way they cannot have it.
Yeah.
So what's playing through my mind is this. I'm not even sure how to put it all into words, so I'm going to try. Bear with me. But have you ever met somebody our age who is just like ultra cynical, like, people know them as the person that is just like, stay away from them. They're just such a jerk. They're just such a jaded whatever. When you hear those words, typically what comes to mind is somebody of the older generation. I don't like curmudgeon-y. Like,
yeah,
I don't hear that describing younger people. So to answer your question, Mike, I think a lot of people, older people, are burned out, but it's showing in that curmudgeon, like jaded,
they just don't know how cynical. To handle it,
and so they don't know how to handle it, so they handle it by being an asshole, basically.
Yeah.
And so their burnout is not acknowledged, but it's impacting how they show up in the world. Now this is painting with broad strokes, but when I look at our generation and younger, I don't often look at them and say, what an asshole, like he is just so ridiculous.
Other than me on Friday night, I was a complete asshole.
Do you say, yeah, you were. Do you say, oh man, I bet he's broken. Do you is that what you say instead of like when they're young? Do you, I tried to fill
if
in
I
words.
If I come across somebody like that, I maybe.
Oh, so you're saying you don't come across?
I don't. Like curmudgeons? No. Not among younger people. Like the people who are usually jaded and cynical are older people. I don't see that. And so what I'm getting at is perhaps older people do experience burnout and the way they experience it causes them to be closed-minded, jaded, cynical, because they've never dealt with the things that are causing them to be that way.
Well, you know, as you say that, I can see that. I can see that now in those of us who are our age who haven't dealt with the stuff, they're starting to become more of the cynic.
Yeah.
They're becoming that cynic. Well, on Facebook, like, what are you, like, 50 years old? They're starting to complain like 50-year-olds on Facebook. like, that's, okay. No, that makes sense. They're not dealing with it. They're not, and that's where they're going to go unless they deal with the shit inside.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hmm.
Makes sense.
What do you do if you're feeling burned out? What if you're feeling exhausted or cynical, or you're just lacking self-efficacy? As I wrap up this topic of burnout, the Lifehacker article that I referenced has these suggestions. If you're dealing with exhaustion due to burnout, rest. Take time off, find a way to reduce your obligations, family or otherwise, or any other strategy that will result in getting more rest. If you're being super cynical, what can you do? Well, find a way to connect with people in a meaningful way. That's what I do.
I mean, if you're already cynical, it's like, okay, just go fix yourself. You know what I mean? Like, if you're being cynical, be like, okay, I'm not going to be, like, it's not that easy.
No, that's what I'm saying. Surround yourself with people who are positive.
Yeah, but even that's hard.
Well, is recovery ever easy?
No, but my point is like the life hacker saying just do this. You know what I mean? I guess I'm mocking the article. Yeah. Because it's like,
sure.
Yeah. If my wife, like if I'm doing something that's an issue, I'd be like, okay, let me just flip a switch. Like that was early on in our marriage. I don't say that anymore.
Yeah.
Nice.
But I mean, that's what it was. Like it takes a lot of work to get to back.
Well,
to
okay.
Square one.
Well, if that's too much work, well, what about just doing a random small act of kindness to somebody? Yeah, that'll help you.
But if you're already cynical, how do you even get to that point?
You just do it. I mean, at some point, you just have to do it. How did I get from the point of sitting on my ass doing nothing to going to the gym? I just did it.
No, you didn't, because there were a lot of baby steps that worked up to that.
What if the baby step is just going?
Could be.
What if a baby step is just giving $5 to a panhandler?
I don't know.
I wouldn't suggest that, but
I just know that when it's like, even for me in perspective, if I'm in a terrible mood, it doesn't just go like, I'm going to surround myself by kindness with kind people. Like I'm moving my arm like a, what am I trying to think? The Wizard of Oz. What are those? Munchkins. Like, you know, I'm going, dur, dur, dur.
No. Wow.
No, I just feel like, I just want to caution people.
It's not easy.
It's not easy to do that.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
But sometimes we just have to do the opposite.
Yeah.
And that's what gets it started.
You got to do something to get the ball rolling.
Right.
Whatever that is.
Exactly. And then if you're feeling the reduced sense of efficacy, it's such a fun word.
$20 word, Ben.
Right?
What, maybe $20 that I couldn't say it?
No, $20 word just means like a really like high word.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
So sometimes if it's happening, the article talks about feeling it in the workplace. If you're feeling under-challenged or feeling like you're not a good fit, then really take stock and see if that needs to be changed. What is the area that's causing you to lack self-confidence? Look at that and... you're right. This article makes it sound so easy. Just go switch jobs.
Right. Well, I mean, they got to cut it up. They got to be brief anyways.
Right.
It's a blog. Thank you guys so much for listening to Threads Podcast. Real quick, if you want to support the show, you can support us at buymeacoffee.com/threadspodcast. What's Buy Me a Coffee? Well, Buy Me a Coffee is a kind of like Patreon, where you can subscribe to a monthly charge where we give you extra content and part of a membership group. You can also just buy us a random coffee, a $5 coffee or $10 worth of coffees, and that just goes help support the show, the expenses, and moving Threads forward is what we want to do, and it all takes money, and so we would love your support. And thank you to those who have already done it. We really, really appreciate it. Also, Ben's gonna release the newsletter this month. And if you go to threadspodcast.com/newsletter, put your email address in there. You'll have just comings and goings of Ben, what's going on in our lives on top of the podcast and those kind of things. We'd love your support in that too. So that's threadspodcast.com/newsletter. All right, guys. Thanks so much. Back to the show. So my current event is not a current event. It is faith-based.
Wow, you're pulling out the faith card.
No.
By the way, I went to church today, so you can all stop judging me. But anyways, this isn't really about going to church. It's actually a TikTok.
Okay.
And it's a little song.
Ooh.
So I'll play it.
2, 3, 4. You say that you're a Christian, but you hate all people who live out their lives a different way than how you say you do. The irony is perfect because Jesus was a Jew and he'd be mad at you. You hate the LGBTQIA, you say they're wrong. The indigenous and immigrants and blacks, they don't belong. A woman's choice to use her voice and write a little song. Your hate list is too long. Why you call yourself a Christian? I don't think that you're a Christian. If you really were a Christian, you wouldn't be a dick. Bless you. 2, 3.
Nice.
So, oh man, I struggle so much. That was when I saw that, I was just like, this is perfect, because I struggle so much with the hypocrisy in the Christian church. By the way, the LGBTQIA, I'm not sure what the IA is. I try to be involved in that kind of thing and support it. But as last month was, you know, Pride Month. But I just really hate the hypocrisy in the Christian church. And that was such a great video to kind of bring that
intersexual
around.
Asexual.
Okay, thank you. Did it just pop into your head?
It did.
Nice.
I was trying to Google
it. You like
that.
Blurted it right out, so I knew it was.
Honestly, the competition, the competitiveness in me saw Mike looking it up, and I'm like, I got to get there first.
Man, you dug way back in the brain.
Ninja. He's a ninja. Competitive ninja.
Yeah, so it just really bothers me. I grew up with hypocritical parents, basically. I mean, how do you go to church but beat your kid? Or how do you go to church and neglect your child or not spend time with them and those kind of things? So I don't have a ton to say about it, but I was hoping that would bring discussion a lot from you two, being, you know, you're not in ministry right now, but deep breath. I had one beer, guys, one freaking beer, and it's like a 4.5. It's super light. Just being ordained and being in the ministry and going to school for it, and having the church issues that you had with some people. And then I don't know your church history much, Mike. I mean, obviously you're working it right now, but I just want to explore what you think about the hypocrisy and especially related to the whole political Trump thing, how all these Trumpers think they're Christians, but this guy's, you know, we don't need to go into that. But what do you say, Ben?
What always gets me, like, I am fully on board with the comments about the politics and the, I mean, you can listen back to all kinds of episodes where I talk about Jesus and the flag and the country and faith and all of that. So I'm jiving with the song up until they bring up the LGBTQ. Mm. And I feel like I'm still, I don't know, some days I'm on the fence of, it's totally okay, like... Or that wouldn't be on the fence. That would be on the other side of the fence. I feel like I'm so close to the fence. Either one day I'm feeling...
One day you went through the gate.
Yeah, one day I'm feeling the pull of, yeah, it's totally okay. Like, Jesus would be cool with this. Bible doesn't really specifically call this out. And then there's the other side of the fence, which is where a lot of my church and Christian people are. And it's... opposite. It's homosexuality is a sin. We should be calling it out instead of accepting it and celebrating it. And so I have the pull of both sides, and I feel like I'm very much on the fence. Like, some days I'll be leaning more to the left and some days more to the right. And I feel like I'm in this constant tug of war with that issue. And I feel like the last couple of years, really since Threads, I've had opportunities to really not just talk to people, but get to know people who identify as LGBTQ. And some of the people love Jesus. And I'm just like, how can I
like judge them, look them in the eye when they're like, I know, man.
It's so hard. And so I feel like it's important to call out sin, and it's important to, you know, to take a stand on issues that are important. But what I go back to, and I'm sure Pastor Mike over here will have something to say about this, Jesus doesn't ever talk about homosexuality.
Right.
And so it's like, if it was so gosh darn important,
it'd be a Ten Commandment.
Seriously, something. Or Jesus would have talked about it in the New Testament. He says
at least nothing breezed over it.
Like, or at least, I mean, just mention it. Like, something. And then one of my friends that I went to college with, who's definitely gone to the side of it's okay to be gay. I mean, that's a really poor way to sum it up, but he's done a lot of study into the texts that talk about homosexuality. And very often those texts are not about, you know, consenting adults having sexual relations that are of the same gender. What's being talked about is basically slave boys being owned by older men who are using them as sex toys. And of course that is not okay.
That's pedophilia.
In any culture, anytime, that's not okay. So yeah, I could go on and on. So I'll just sum it up by saying I'm on the fence, and I'm okay with being on the fence right now.
And I think that's okay too. In reference to the song though, I they don't clarify, but are they talking about the persecution of LGBTQ? It's not like you're saying it's wrong or right, or, you know, being mean or critical. I mean, you would never get on board with that.
No,
you would.
At the end of the day, just love people.
Yeah, love people.
Like, why does it matter if they're a different sexuality? Like, and I was thinking about this too. If people are LGBTQIA and they're in my church, awesome. Why can't they just be there?
Well, it's not your, you don't judge. That's not your deal. Like, but in the same breath, you coming to me and asking me to go to church kind of falls into the same way. Shouldn't you go to them and say, hey, you're being me not going to church? I mean, I guess it's a sin. Maybe not.
No.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I mean, it's kind of okay. Maybe it's not apples to apples, but it's apples to some sort of other fruit.
Apple to
it's not going to be apple to vegetable. It's not going to be fruit to vegetable. But my point is like, don't you feel a calling to go to that person and say, you know, I love you, but this is not okay.
I don't.
Yeah.
I really, and that's, again, I think it's a symptom of being on the fence. I don't feel like it is my duty to go to a person of faith who's gay and say, you can't be gay anymore.
Well, it's not your duty, but they probably have a better chance of going to hell than me, right?
No, I don't think so. Does your sexuality determine your salvation? It doesn't.
This, I think, is the problem with Christians right now. We are not known by our love. We are known by our hate.
Yes.
And that's terrible, yeah, dude.
Totally.
I mean, because Jesus said to people, Jesus loved people well, and he did tell them to go on sin, to stop sinning. Like, stop sinning. But I don't think he was like, just went up and was like, stop sinning. He went, he had dinner, he hung out with them. He was accused of being a drunkard and a glutton and all of these things because he was loving people so well. Like, just love people well.
I mean, I don't know if you guys have any other thoughts about that. It's just, I'm just tired of the hate that I see from Christians or non-Christians, to be honest with you. I mean, let's generalize, but I just, you know, I love everyone, and that's a big change for me too. I mean, you know me 20 years ago, like people that know me now, that if I, you know, they'd be like,
who are you?
Yeah, I mean, I was super right wing, not right wing, like crazy. When I say right wing,
it was different 20 years ago.
Exactly. I was right wing 20 years ago when it wasn't labeled as an extremist group.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I've changed a lot of my tunes on a lot of stuff, and I feel better for it. I just feel like a better person being that way.
But do you think part of the problem is like you talk about hateful everybody? Like, we don't know how to disagree well. Do you two like listen to stuff that like you don't like totally are like, I do not agree at all, just to listen?
Yeah, I have occasionally.
I mean, I like to argue.
Yeah, but, I mean, but like, do you
but
like
to just listen
to listen and learn from a totally different view?
Yeah, I will do that.
Okay.
I want my views to be challenged because I might like, you know what? I might not be right on this.
So most people, I would say, don't listen, read anything from something that doesn't go in their circle.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that makes sense. So I actually try to read a book from it from an atheist every like quarter, like, you know, every few months, try to read a book from an atheist.
Yeah.
Just to know, because I'm like, I don't know everything yet. Or, you know, videos. I try to listen to videos that are like that, who sometimes I'm like, oh, man, that hurts.
Mm-hmm. I don't seek it out, but when I listen to Rogan a lot, and I don't need more because I'm pissy he went to Spotify, and I hate I love Spotify music, but the platform of it's all clunky. Like, to me, it's not streamlined, and so I stopped listening when he went to Spotify. But he would always bring up stuff for me that I was like, I didn't agree with. But I'm like, you know what? There's some merit to whatever that is, whether he have an atheist on or I mean, he would have anyone on, Christian, atheist, it didn't matter.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I didn't, but I don't do what you do. Like, I don't go grab some literature that will like be a totally against my view, I guess.
Okay.
I do seek out things that make me uncomfortable, and very helpful.
We should all like do a little like thing like that. Like you I don't read.
We should go to each other's churches.
You know what? I have to bring this up. I thought about your church today when I was in church. I swear to God. But we should, like, if you find something that you know would like challenge me, as long as it's like a book on tape that I can listen to.
Yeah.
I hate reading.
Or a podcast.
Or, yeah, anything audio I'll listen to. But one more thing before we go on to Mike. But you talked about the right and the left leaning. Megan actually and I brought that up today. It's so funny because we talked about Alive and how empty it was in there. Mm. And half our congregation, okay, this could be an exaggeration. I'm getting this from the lead production guy, went to Chapel Point because they didn't wear any masks. And I was like, I don't know. I don't like that. And she's like, well, why? I don't want those people in my church. I go, yeah, but I don't want a completely left-leaning church.
Exactly.
I want a mixed bag in my church.
Yep.
I want leaders that have the stuff that conservative stuff and liberal stuff. I want them together to work. I don't want left or just right. And so it was funny that it came up. And then as I was in church today, I was like, man, I wonder what we should go to Ben's church. Yeah. Like I seriously did. Yeah. I've been
thinking of inviting you. So
you don't have to invite me.
I thought of Ben's church today too, because our service went like an hour and a half.
Oh, jeez.
Well, because again, there are a lot of things that happen, and then somebody was preaching in Spanish, and his wife was translating.
Oh, gosh.
So it took a 20-minute sermon took 40.
I would have got up and left.
I know, but I was thinking of Ben's. I feel like this is right up Ben's church's alley to like go an hour and a half and have somebody preach in Spanish, anyways.
Yeah, but that being said, it was just interesting that got brought up because. I don't want. Why did you get excited about the Chapel Point thing? Have you heard about that?
Because my parents' church lost. They're in the air and they lost like half their people to Chapel Point.
Holland? Oh no, they're from GR.
Well, they're more from Hudsonville.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're out. Their church is out in Jamestown area.
Can you name what church are they at?
I won't name that. But anyways, they lost half of theirs.
Are they at Harbor Point or no Harbor House?
No,
or
Harbor probably.
I know which one it is, but I'm not going to say it either.
But anyways, that sucks, by the way.
It does totally.
Like, and I actually gave those people the benefit of the doubt because I was like, when did they move? Because like there's times where our church, I thought, needed to ask and get off the pot. Like, it's time to move on. And they went too long. Is that when that person went to Chapel Point? Or the second the mandate went into effect, they're like, I'm out.
Out, yeah.
I don't want those people either.
Yeah.
I mean, if you hear this, I don't like you. Just follow the rules, okay? It's pandemic, for God's sakes. All right, Mike.
So mine also is from the great state of Oregon or Oregon.
Thank you for pronouncing it right.
Can you tell us which one it is?
It's Oregon.
It's Oregon, but I always say Oregon, and I feel like such an idiot.
Because there's an L.
Yeah, so thank you.
It has to do with that in hunting. There is a ballot thing that they're trying to get on the ballot to ban hunting and agriculture, like killing of like cows and livestock. But they can still sell meat at stores. This is what the ballot is.
This is the stupidest thing already I've ever
I'm so lost.
So as a hunter, like again, it comes up to me of like, so we kind of have guns. Like, what about guns? What about hunting? What about that as people? So that's why it stuck out to me. And it stuck out to me as a tough conversation because I think guns and hunting can be a tough conversation because you get into ethics, you get into taking the animal's life. all that fun stuff. So I want to know what you guys think of this banning of hunting and killing livestock.
Okay, I need some more clarification. Is this in the state of Oregon?
Yeah, yes. For the whole state.
For the whole entire state, which half of the state, right, is farming?
Oh, more than half.
Well, probably not. Probably not cattle. It's probably more
outside
crops.
Of Portland and Eugene. Okay, so there's the Interstate 5 runs on the westernmost part of Oregon. And on I-5, you go, you've got Eugene, which is very liberal. University of Oregon is there. Had a little bit north here in Corvallis. That's where the Oregon State University is. Head a little bit north, you're in Salem. That's where the capital is. A lot of liberal people there. And then you head as far north as you can, and you're in Portland, which we all know is a very liberal shit show.
So, wow. Hey, our Portland audience, sorry.
Just plummeted.
I'm going to see you in next week. I love you, but it's true. But if you were to take that I-5 corridor out, and it's a small sliver of the state, if you were to take that out, you would be left with farming, agriculture, cattle, sheep, llamas. I mean, all kinds of stuff in the sticks of Oregon. Outside of that sliver of Oregon, it's very West Michigan-like.
Oh.
And I was on the very west end of the Eugene and on that line where it went from liberal Eugene to conservative outside. It's just crazy to me that in that sliver is the majority of the population of Oregon.
Hmm.
And so it's so populated because of the universities, because of Portland and the capital. But outside of that are these people who feel like they have no representation. And so what happens is you get these crazy propositions to ban hunting and agriculture. Like,
yeah.
The rest of the state is, I'm sure, banging their head on the wall like, what the hell is going on here?
So it's possible that that Western corridor could make that happen, right?
Well, if that's the majority of the people,
right?
Yeah.
They can make it happen, and where
they absolutely can.
By the way, our last breakdown of stats, only 6 listens in Oregon, which is ridiculous because you have people out there.
I know.
We actually, our highest is California, then Michigan, then Ohio.
Ohio.
I don't know anyone in Ohio. Very strange.
But I mean, like, and I'm surprised it's not somewhere like California that's the first one to do this. But so should we keep doing it? Guns, let's talk about those.
Oh my gosh.
Things.
So I will go first. Hunting, first of all, if you stop killing them, you will kill, your car will kill so much.
Oh, yeah.
You'll have an accident every 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Car deer. The hunting involved is good for the environment.
Yeah,
there's a reason that you do that. Yes, abuse of it, of course. And that's why they have the DNR in Michigan. It's the DNR. They monitor all that stuff. I mean, they're not stupid. You know what I mean? You have to have hunting. If you don't have hunting, your car insurance will be $1,000 a month. You
right.
know. But as far as like not killing livestock to eat, but yet yeah. you're going to be able to still get it from the grocery store. That's like hypocrisy, right?
Which also means that they're just going to ship it in from a different
right,
state.
From California right. or Washington.
Yeah, that's the dumbest thing. Like how what's the validity of this bill? I mean, is this some dumbass representative that doesn't
what's
know
the name? Is there a name on it?
No, it looks like it's going to be a ballot. It looks like
what? It's actually going to go on the wow. It's been approved to go on the ballot.
So people have to vote on it. It looks like they've gotten enough to then go around and get enough people to sign it to get on the ballot.
Oh, so it's not quite there yet.
Not quite, but the first step of getting the 1,000 signatures and then getting it to where they can.
Well, this is where you need an IQ test before you can vote.
Right. I know. This
I mean,
is
because
crazy.
If you think about it, all the young people in those areas, of course they're going to be like, oh, yeah, I love the animals, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But I mean, how can you not? How can you? You're a hypocrite. If you get the meat, you should be a vegetarian then.
Yeah.
Except for totally. Most are, though.
Wow.
I mean, in that quarter, I would guess that over half.
And I'm okay with that.
I know.
I would say, yeah, I don't know if it's half, but if they're not vegan or vegetarian, they are very aware. And what comes to mind is a clip of Portlandia, which if you haven't watched the show.
No.
Oh, my gosh. It's hilarious.
We established we don't watch TV.
Right? So funny. Wow. But one of the scenes is like This couple is at a restaurant and they're asking the waitress about
server. Talk about me. You call me a caveman?
Yeah,
he does that all the time. He says waitress. I mean, talk about 50s.
Okay.
The wait staff.
The wait staff, the server. The couple is asking them all about how was this animal treated on the farm? And it's just this whole, it just divulges from there. But that's very much how it is. Like, people want to know, was this a cage-free animal?
So honestly, if I could find all that out, I would focus on eating an animal that was like that. Yeah. I would pay more money. I mean, within reason. Yeah. I mean, if it's going to be $100 a pound, I'm sorry, I can't afford that.
Yeah.
But I mean, if I have to pay $2 or $3 more per pound that I know that the cow that I got it from was treated and killed humanely,
yeah,
I'm 100% on board. I love animals.
Oh, for sure. I don't want to digress too much, but when I lived in Oregon, I was the healthiest weight I've ever been as an adult. Move back to Michigan.
Well, and you better move back then.
Yeah,
I know, right?
He's going to go out there and move out there.
Oh, can you imagine if he got the bug? He comes back. He's like,
guys, hey, I really need to go back.
We got to talk.
So you know what's funny though? Because we're talking about it, this came to mind. You know, so people are worried about their cow and how it is. A deer is really happy until the point you shoot it. Like it really is just going through the woods. It's having a great life. And so like but they're going to cause more cows to get killed because. What are the families out there going to eat if they're not eating deer? Like, assume there's families getting 3-4 deer, like just like here.
Yeah,
oh, for sure.
So they're going to eat a cow or two more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
From like a feedlot.
I mean, they're both ludicrous, but to not kill your. I mean, does that mean chickens too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chickens, goats, whatever else animal you want to eat, pigs.
Because it's animal cruelty to kill them. Next, they're going to ban plants because it's inhumane to pull a plant out of the ground.
This is where I'd be like, go to a pastor and be like, so, I mean, God put these on. I mean, what is their purpose? They put it on the planet for us to eat, right?
In Genesis, God gave them and basically put man over them. And ever since the dawn of time, we've hunted.
Yeah. So I guess, I mean, a lot of those people probably aren't
really. It's essential to our survival.
They don't care what the Bible says.
No.
Because, I mean, it hit me as because not only because of there, because whatever, they can do whatever they want. But I wonder if this takes hold, if we'll see more liberal states go this way. And here's the thing, like, I'm pretty moderate, but like on guns, I'm actually conservative and liberal. So like, I can get you on both.
What do you mean?
So I love hunting. I love owning the guns I do, but I also think it should be way harder to buy guns than it is.
What kind of guns?
Any gun should be way harder to buy. Even my rifle. My rifle was too easy to buy. Mm. I end up going to a big store in the area called Cabela's. And I went there. They end up doing a background check. I did that in air quotes. It took like 20 seconds.
Yeah, because if it doesn't ding back.
Okay, but a normal background check for like what we do at church takes days because there's different databases. There's no way in 20 seconds they're dinging every database. Like for me, I would much rather go into Cabela's, have to wait a day to make sure they did a full background check.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of agree with you because I mean, I lean pretty far to the right with firearms.
Yeah.
I'm for all that. And I'm sickened about all the shootings, but most of those shootings, those guns were obtained illegally.
It's true. Yeah.
So making me wait 3 days for a rifle, the guy that's going to go to shoot up a school isn't going to do that.
Yeah.
You're basically slowing the people that are legally wanting to buy the firearm. But I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
What can be done to slow that down?
Yeah. And this is for me who owns two guns, and I'd be fine with owning more. But like, it shouldn't be as easy as it is to get, because it's not easy to go get a car.
Right.
I mean, I have to do more work for a car.
It's true.
Well, that's the problem because of the Second Amendment. It's an amendment, so it's like, oh my God.
But it doesn't mean that it can't be a little more difficult.
I assume you're... not into constitutional carry then, right? Basically, you don't have to get a background check.
No, I'm not into that stuff.
Yeah, that's a little crazy for me. Yeah.
I don't, I mean, again, and personally, I don't believe that I'm able to take someone's life.
Yeah.
But again, I'm pro gun rights. I think people do have the right to carry. But I was amazed the last time I got how easy it was. Yeah. I was like, I should not have been able to walk in and it took 2 hours because I was like, should I get this caliber or this caliber?
Yeah.
That took most of the time. It shouldn't have been that easy to get a gun.
I agree.
Sure. So, yeah.
But I shot your thing down by saying the people that kill people use illegal guns. So.
Some of them, but I would actually say, do you have any stats on that, or is that like the common? And
I would say that's common, but I think there are ones that like they did go get it right, like yeah. you said, like went to Cabela's, got yeah. it. Yeah, there are those out there, 100%. I'm yeah. being, you know,
or those with mental health. Where they're yeah. struggling. I mean, think about how much 24 hours can do if you're down and depressed.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
I mean, that 24 hours can be a lifesaver.
Yeah.
That's a good point. But I agree with you on that. That would be I would be on board with that reason. Yeah. Saying, hey, it takes 3 days for you to get a rifle.
Yeah.
That I would agree with you on that for that reason.
Yeah. Yeah. But now, for a number of reasons, I am not a gun owner. I haven't
liberal
been as
liberal hippie
adult.
From no. Oregon.
Man, no, if I took you out, we did some skeet and trap shooting, you would die.
I'm
you
sure.
You would be like, this is the funnest thing I've ever
oh,
done.
Oh, let's, okay, that's definitely something we have to do.
Okay,
have you done
pause. That before?
Yes.
Dude, I have like those guns in my safe right now.
Do you have a thrower?
No, I go to a course.
I have a thrower. My parents have acres, so. Or we can go to the course.
I mean, it costs an arm and a leg. I know. But
okay.
I have no issue with people owning guns.
And I know
think
you don't.
People should have the right to own them. But in my life, I've battled some pretty deep depression in my life. B, I am impulsive as what? Both of these guys can attest to that. I don't think things through all the way. I just jump in and figure it out.
Yeah, you shouldn't own a gun.
For my own safety and for the safety of those around me, I don't own a gun because who's to say, God forbid, I'm having the worst day and it just feels all-consuming. If I had a gun readily available to me, I don't trust myself to push past that impulse.
You know what? If you went out and shot and learned about guns, you would change your tune.
Possibly.
You would realize how powerful they are and you still might have the draw to it, but you no. It, once you have the respect for it, I mean, you got to be pretty down in the dumps. Like,
and I have been. And so because I know myself, it's just something that I am fine with firing a gun. I am fine with going to a range and having a day of it.
Right.
But for me, because of just who I am and the struggles I've had, mm-hmm. It's just a boundary that I've set. I'm not going to be a gun owner. And if you're listening and you want to break into my house, good luck, because I have a security system and, you know.
But well, I digress. Seriously. Half the people that have guns in their house, if they break in, they're going to shoot themselves. I mean, you have to yeah. you have to have some knowledge with all
exactly.
that. And honestly, the best self-defense is a self-defense shotgun, not a handgun.
Hmm.
Those handguns, you need yeah. something to spray and pray. Like one bullet, you're going to miss yeah. them. Your adrenaline's going to be high.
Oh,
you just
sure.
need a shotgun that just goes kablammo and just goes.
It spreads it out.
Yeah.
It spreads it out.
Because it is the thing with, you know, I always shot rifle and then I shot a handgun. And like from like 15 feet away, it's hard to hit anything.
Dude, it takes a lot of practice.
It does. It's calm, yeah. sitting there at a range.
Yeah. Try drawing it from a holster. And that's why, you know, yeah. like when you see cops and when that stuff happens, when they are able to stop the threat,
yeah.
it's amazing. That takes a lot of practice
ton of
to
skunk.
Do. But anyways, yeah. we digress big time.
That's all right.
So where we go from here, Ben?
Well, I thought we could wrap things up by just sharing a takeaway. What's something that stood out to you about the conversation that we've had about the three issues? Maybe something that you learned that was surprising about one of us. Maybe you felt challenged or you felt surprised. I'll go first so you two have some time to think because I'm seeing God. Some looks in the room. but just that aha moment of Ben's church. Like, I guess one thing that I was surprised by was the fact that we all three were thinking the same thing.
That's so weird.
Like, I would love it if you guys came to my church because I love my church. Today, I didn't know this, but we have homeless people that go to our church. Like,
yeah.
I guess maybe I should have known given our location, but we had a homeless panel. And I'm thinking, I can't ever remember a time where part of my congregation was homeless people that were willing to go in front of the church and say, this is what life is like for me. And this is what's hard about being homeless. And this is how I've experienced God on the streets. And this is what home means to me. It was like, I'm sitting there like, this is church. This is incredible. So just another moment of wow. And then just the worship at my church. Like, it's gospel choir meets like praise band, and it's just, I don't know, it's so novel. So the thought that both of you guys had were thinking of my church is just like,
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why I was thinking of it. Like, I don't know, because that would put me out of my comfort zone. Oh, my gosh.
That's why I want you to go.
Oh, my gosh.
I think maybe you should go just because it'd be so out of your comfort zone.
I mean, I think it'd be good for me, but I actually more looking at, I'm thinking about my kids, because like over the holiday weekend, they spent time up there up at the cabin, and they were so whiny at some stuff, and it just pissed me off how spoiled my freaking kids are. Like, I don't want to bring them to that church just to like see this, but I want to be like, this is a little different. Like, this is somewhat different than what life you have. Yeah, you know what I mean?
For
like,
sure.
Like, if they would have came today with that homeless panel, they Avery would have been like with their mouth wide open, I think. Yeah. And that would have been a good reflection for me too. Because my kids got it way too damn easy.
Yeah.
It pisses me off.
Yeah.
Ben, I'm the cause of
life. Ben, when you're talking about that, it just reminded me when I first started learning to preach, it was an urban church, and people would come in off the streets drunk as you're trying to preach. They'd sit up there and just start like drunk talking. And
I would not like that.
It was crazy.
For me, that you cross the line there. If you're intoxicated, I would want them thrown out. I'm sorry.
You know what? There are people that have come to Jesus high on like LSD. So
yeah, but are they coming in there because they're cold and they want a meal? And so they're just being,
well, there wasn't a meal. There was just coffee. But anyways, that just reminded me of that. Here's my takeaway is that Jason likes faith talk. It still surprises me because like I like purposely picked one that wasn't faith because I'm like every time I've come on, we've talked faith.
Pastor Mike.
I know. So I want to talk about guns instead. Gun toting.
Yeah,
America.
I was pretty surprised about that, to be honest with you.
I know.
That's like, a takeaway for me. I didn't know you were a gun guy, to be honest with you.
I know. Like I'm wearing like non like hick stuff, but I also grew up in the country. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, so like I was surprised. You brought up faith talk and I think. You know, well, you're wrestling with
that. I brought up faith talk, but it wasn't the positive part of faith. It was the negative, and that's the problem. I'm always in the negative. And
a cynic? Cynicism is...
Right. What an impactful message today. I was a little tuned out, but it really hit Megan hard, and it was about relationships and with Jesus, and like she needs to circle back with me with it. Okay. Like, so... yeah, and it was kind of hard for me at church. I'll be honest with you. I went to smoke some cannabis before I went because I was really anxious and my pen was dead.
Oh,
and I was really bummed about that because I had a lot of anxiousness going into church, and I put up some walls with my wife, and that I have to circle back on. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what it is. Like it really actually pisses me off that this is happening. I'll be honest with you. As much as I put up a wall and kind of a D-bag about it sometimes, I'm pissed. I'm pissed on this struggle. Mm. So I don't know. That's about it for me as far as the takeaway. I really enjoyed it. My takeaway, actually, I wrote a note down, is I really enjoyed the banter before we got into the topic. I really had a good time. Yeah. We were laughing, even though we were talking about whoop shit in our fight. It was really fun. We circled back. I really think that I could enjoy a podcast with all of us just shooting breeze.
Yeah. When it's just, I think that's real life, right? We all have drama that comes up in friendships, and
yes,
because we're humans and we want to be the best.
And I think people like to listen to that dirty little stuff. So, guys, thank you so much for listening to the Threads Podcast. We really appreciate it. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We hope it stirred some emotion in you. If it did, please email us hello@threadspodcast. All that fun stuff, .com, that kind of stuff. Well, who doesn't remember the .? What are we, .net, .biz?
.org.
.org. Gosh. And coming up next week, it'll be the mental health format. We're going to talk about just different aspects of mental health and how our mental health is going and all that fun stuff. So once again, guys, thank you so much for listening to Threads Podcast. We'll see you in a week.